Now, it's time for the Cybersecurity News Bite with Jim Guckin.
Cybersecurity News Bite, episode number 87 for May 5th, 2025. Commvault zero-day drama. Harold joins the cyber hit list. The malware love story you didn't swipe right on. And when your router turns against you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. My name is Jim Guck, and I am here to talk about some of the cybersecurity news stories that might have slipped through the cracks and you're paying attention to things, and I put forward them into a podcast, and we talk about it. But regardless of that, talk about our first story here about Commvault, you know, the leading enterprise data and backup protection provider. Yeah, well, Commvault had a security breach. Stemming from an exploitation of a previously unknown vulnerability, tracked as CVE-2025-3928 in its web server software. So Commvault has a web interface in which you can do all your designing on. That's where the vulnerability is. A nation-state actor has leveraged this flaw to deploy web shells and gain unauthorized access into Commvault's Microsoft Azure-hosted environments. So, before we get really deep into this and how it was detected, let's first talk about the CVE. CVE-2025-3928 has a CVSS score, which is a severity score of 8.7 out of 10. It's specifically in the Commvault web server thing. It allows for remote exploit from an authenticated attacker using a remote code shell. That's how they use the attack to remote codes execution. That was where I was looking for the word execution. So this was initially figured out back in February 20, 2025. Microsoft actually alerted Commvault to some unauthorized activity going on in their Azure environment. Commvault, you know, launched their incident response plan. They rotated all their credentials, and on March 7th, they released an advisory. Now, what we know is in the articles that I was able to read, which are available in the show notes, at this time, there was a nation state. They pointed the finger at it, but no one in particular is named. So I'm hoping later on we find out who. But anyway, the impact. So no customer data was impacted here, which is great. No material operation was disrupted, meaning they didn't take any servers down, anything along those lines. The vulnerability is being actively exploited in the wild, so if you do happen to have a Commvault that's accessible to the internet, be careful. CISA has added this to their known exploited vulnerabilities catalog, the KEV, on the 28th of last month. So they're warning you that attackers are actively using this. So how do you protect yourself from this? Well, you want to make sure you update to certain versions. 11.36.46, 11.32.89, 11.28.141, and 11.20.217. I don't expect you to know all these show notes. Best place to get them. Anyway, so besides making sure that you are currently updated to the version that you need in either Windows or Linux platform, I recommend doing some conditional access policies for 365, Dynamic 365, Azure AD apps. Go in there and block the IOCs. They have IP addresses in the articles in the show notes. Though I'm going to say, and I always kind of hesitate to say block IPs, because those, number one thing attacker will do if they can't get there is they just rotate their IPs. It's not hard nowadays to do. So they kind of do that pretty frequently. Recommend also you rotate your client secret every 90 days in Azure and in Commvault. Should be standard practice for you, but if you're not doing it, recommend doing it. Look for logons from those suspicious IPs that are in the IOCs for the news articles, and report any suspicious activity to Commvault support. You never know what they could help you with, but Commvault right now is getting hit. It's a popular product. It's a good product, so make sure you're patched up and you do everything you can to protect yourself. For our second story, if you haven't been paying attention, in the UK, there's been a glutton of UK retailers who've been hit recently. Harrods is the current one that's in the news. It's an iconic UK luxury retailer. They confirmed they were hit by a cyber attack. They joined the companies Marks and Spencer and Co-op. And what experts are saying might be a coordinated attack against UK retail sector. So if you are listening and you are in the UK retail sector, buckle down, because it's going to be a rough period of time as these malicious actors target a very specific, very regional, you know, UK-based luxury line. Now, Harrods stores were online and operational, and they remain unaffected. The company itself, Harrods, has not disclosed whether customer data was breached. But as I said, this is the third one in a week, following Marks and Spencer and the cooperative group. The co-op is what it's called. Now, some of those did not fare as well. They were actually offline for a period of time. But in this case, Harrods physically and their online stores are operational. There's no impact there. And, you know, it seems to be a coordinated effort. As I said, three retailers within a week. There's a 40% rise in data breaches across UK retail. This is coming from the Information Commissioner's Office over there. Cyber criminals are exploiting outdated software. We don't know if that's the case in this case, but it is something that the Information Commissioner's Office over there has mentioned. They're also targeting weak authentication protocols. As I said, the cooperative group, they did shut their systems down. Marks and Spencer's was brought down. So these people are paying for keeps. And because these three just happened, I expect in the upcoming weeks there'll be more information about what exactly happened. But when we talk about how we defend ourselves, let's break this into two parts. For the consumers, and granted, you don't have to be a UK consumer to protect yourselves in this piece. This is something we should all be doing, just part of our everyday stuff. Monitor your bank accounts, your credit cards. Look for any kind of unauthorized transactions. I do that at minimally weekly. Make sure your online accounts have unique passwords. They are rotated every so often, especially if you know that platform becomes hit like these do. Where you can enable two-factor authentication, whether that's a code or a push notification or a text. I know people say texts are not as great. It's better than nothing. But not every site gives you the option of two-factor authentication, especially some of these retail sites that I know of. So if it's available, use it. If not, just make sure you have a secure rotated password. Now, for the business end, for UK businesses retail who are dealing with this, make sure you're doing regular security audits. Make sure you're checking your access, making sure your vulnerabilities are patched promptly, making sure your employees are trained for phishing and other social media kind of attacks. Make sure you have an incident response plan. And when it does happen, make sure you're collaborating with authorities so that they can kind of pull the information together and share it across everything. So hopefully more information comes out about this. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what happened at this point. We don't know if they all had the same kind of attack, but retailers, be on the lookout right now. For our third story, I want to talk about a sophisticated cyber espionage campaign that's being run right now by the threat actor group Nebulous Manus. It is a Yeah, it's a romantic comedy. They're pretty much looking to make you fall in love and then install some remote access Trojan software. They're targeting individuals and organizations worldwide. The attackers are using a spear phishing campaign to deliver multi-stage malware. This group, Nebulous Manus, is a Russian-speaking group. They tend to use spear phishing emails that mimic trusted services. So look for something that comes in with like a Google or Microsoft, some service that you use that you would click it without much thought to it. The goal is to steal sensitive data. credentials and intellectual property, and they're targeting people in government, military, high-profile private sector organizations. Now, the attack itself is kind of multi-staged in the way it's done. So the spear phishing email, in the one article I read, it was a OneDrive-themed link for this particular attack. They've also host their executable files on Mediafire or Dropbox. Once this malware is downloaded, it injects a DLL file into the explorer.exe, which is the core of your computer system. That way it survives any reboots that go on. It grabs your host name, your OS, your username, installed software, running processes, what time zone you're in, what your network settings are. I'm going to assume, being a Russian-based group, probably what language you have installed. Russian groups tend to shy away from Russian settings on computers, thinking it's one of theirs. Don't know if that's the case here. That's pure. That one's pure conjecture on my part. But it grabs all this information. It uses the IPFS, which is the Interplanetary File System, which is a decentralized file repository, and this way it works so that they can, you know, make it harder to find and harder to stop. And the attackers send their commands through some encrypted data channels to your, you know, the malware that's installed on your computer. So what can this do? What does the malware do once it's installed and it gets its persistence and everything's fine? Well, it runs remote codes, it uploads, downloads files, it can deploy additional malware depending on what they need. It can steal your credentials from your browser, any other kind of sensitive files you may have on your computer. And if they want to, pivot deeper into the network, especially if it's a corporate network. So, as always, how do you defend yourself? Phishing. Make sure your employees know. Make sure they, you know, the act quickly is a red flag. Use application whitelisting. That way, if they do download the malware, it does not run. Deploy your EDR software or EDR software so that you're able to identify and mitigate threats. It can detect some of that stuff. Monitor your network traffic for unusual activities, especially anything to the IPFS domains or any unexpected large amounts of data being exfilled. Use zero trust. That way, if they get on the computer, they really can't go elsewhere. You know, network segmentation, privilege management, all that will limit their movement on your system. For our final story this week, an interesting one because it's a kind of an ingenious attack. So a China-aligned APT group known as The Wizards have been exploiting IPv6's stateless address auto configuration, SLAAC, S-L-A-A-C. And they're conducting some adversary-in-the-middle attacks using a tool called Spellbinder. And what this does is it sends a spoof router advertisement message in the network that they're on through attacker-controlled gateways, pretty much doing a man-in-the-middle attack. They tell your IPv6 address, hey, it's cool, it's me, you know, send me your traffic. And then they can kind of intercept your data because they are your router at that point. And they can, you know, serve you up a website you may go to with some malicious malware. They like to use one called WizardNet. And this bypasses traditionally what a lot of security teams will do is focus on IPv4 stuff. And this, if you're using IPv6 or IPv6 is turned on in your network and it's not inherently turned off, this can be a problem. So the first question you're probably going to have is, what is IPv6 SLAAC? S-L-A-A-C. It's an automated way for your device to find its way around an IPv6 network and give themselves an address without using a DHCP server. So in your traditional IPv4, the computer joins the network, goes, hey, you know, can I have an IP address? And they get a response back. This one, it doesn't wait for someone to respond back. It listens for an advertisement message. It says, hey, here's a prefix. kind of like the beginning code of your or area code for your IPv6. It's like the first chunk of it. And it says you can build your own full address by combining this prefix with a unique identifier like your hardware, your MAC address. And that's how it gets on the network. Rather than a specific thing saying, hey, here's the IP address you have to do. It doesn't, IPv6 doesn't require DHCP. The device then assigns itself an IPv6 and starts communicating on the network, which is once again controlled by the attacker because they're the ones who send out these router advertisements. Now, generally, why is Slack used? It cuts out the need for DHCP servers for address assignment in a complex, large, because IPv6 is a very large network. It's useful in large dynamic networks like universities or enterprise across the world networks. And, you know, honestly, a lot of people say it makes IPv6 feel like plug and play. Like, you don't have to worry about some of the stuff. You just plug into the network, you get the router advertisement, and your computer comes up with the IP address, and everything's boom, fine. So how does the attack actually work? Now, we explained Slack and why and how that works. What does this attack look like? So the device trusts inherently those router advertisement messages by default. Just trust it. It assumes that if you're saying I'm the router, that you are the router. It then tricks your device into routing traffic through a malicious gateway, which is controlled by the attacker, man in the middle. Once you're on it, they serve you a site, which deploys WizardNet, which gives them command and control, and execute some .NET modules into memory so it can kind of link itself in. So it's a very targeted attack. Don't get me wrong. It's a very targeted attack, but it's a very interesting attack, which is why I wanted to pick it up as a story, because it's very niche, but if you're not paying attention for it, it's definitely genius. So how do you defend yourself against this kind of attack? One, if you're not using IPv6, if you don't have any security tools or monitoring tools in place, disable it. Take that entire attack vector out of their hands. One I didn't know was a thing was implement router advertisement guard. It kind of filters out any unauthorized RA messages, meaning they can't pretend to be the router. Monitor IPv6 traffic. Make sure you have tools and they're configured to monitor that kind of stuff. And as always, make sure you have, you know, endpoint detection and response, network detection and response. You have updated software. You're doing your updates every so often. Like, all these things will general help you protect against malware, especially if it's a specific attack. But I'm saying, this being an APT, they're very advanced. It's a very targeted attack. Though, as I always point out, why is this very specific in this case now? It won't always be that way. Other attackers will start picking it up. And once again, you have to be kind of on a big network that uses IPv6, but it can be dangerous that way. So make sure you're protected against it. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Don't forget, you can find more information about me, jimguckin.com. If you're looking for show notes for this show, including all the articles I used to build this stuff and look for more information, make sure you go to cybersecuritynewsbyte.com, click on this episode, and the show notes are listed in there. If you want to reach out to me, you can always feel free to talk out, questions, comments, concerns. You can email me at me@jimguckin.com. Make sure you stay safe online, and we'll talk again next week.
You've been listening to the Cybersecurity News Bite with Jim Guckin. Learn more about our show at cybersecuritynewsbite.com.